Okay.
I used
Dalet Omud Aleph. I want to summarize this section, this next section, because we spent a lot of time with Daryavish.
You mean Koresh?
Also, Artachshasta. The Gemara said that the Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim is from Rosh Chodesh Nisan for Jewish kings. And for Umot HaOlam, it's from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. And the Gemara spends all this time trying to figure out. You're nodding as if you've been here to the shiur.
He's been reading, he's been listening.
No,
to
I was here 2 weeks ago. We talked about it, and someone else wasn't here last week, so there was no shiur. But
oh, but you did Chazara.
Please continue.
I think that happened once that I like went away, and everybody got together. And you had Chazara.
Yes.
That was, I think, in the caravan what, still.
Steve, no, one time we came here, you actually led. It was before Megillah. And you, for some reason, you at the end, you didn't show up, but we were all here. We thought you were coming, and you didn't come to Megillah.
That was when we created the WhatsApp group.
I remember I once got Noam Shapiro to substitute.
Yeah.
Then he was unwilling to come back ever again.
Was that bad?
I don't know. It's like him, the substitute teacher. Anyway, so when it comes to Daryavish, there's a question when his reign is counted. So depending on how you read the Pesukim, it comes out like this, or it comes out like that. So the Gemara says, in some cases, a non-Jewish king can count from
Nisan,
if he's somehow a righteous king.
For sure.
And that's what the Gemara darshins, the name Koresh, he's called Koresh because he was, I'll take it, Koresh Ela Kasher. And therefore he's counted from Nisan, just like a Jewish king. But the psukim that the Gemara is talking about is actually referring to Daryavish, what in the history books is called Darius the Second. You know, all these names. There were like only three names. You know, it's like in England. You know, Elizabeth, James, Henry, George.
Richard, Charles.
There's a small handful of names. You know, Charles is actually, I mean, he's on deck, but there haven't been that many Charles. He'll only be Charles the... It'll be Charles the Second.
The first one was beheaded.
Yeah, the first one was beheaded. So it's not such a good... If you're the queen and you name your kid Charles...
Yeah, there hasn't been a marriage.
Well, they get a new name when they get a regnal name.
But well, not always. Elizabeth did not choose a regnal name.
She chose not to have one.
Yes. All right, well, so one wonders if it's...
You don't have to worry about what the mother calls them. They're the legend of King Archie.
She chose the name Elizabeth.
A lot of things would have to go wrong to end up with King Archie. Chas v'sholom. So why did she do that? Why did she?
Because you liked her name.
Was that it?
According to the Netflix series, yeah.
Oh yeah, that was it. It wasn't a sense that like the last great, well, no, Victoria was the last great British queen, but Victoria was also that she kept her name.
I don't know.
I believe so.
I didn't see that Netflix show.
Anyway, so Daryavish, who was the king after Achashverosh of the Purim story, so the Gemara says that Koresh, Daryavish, Artachshasta, these are all the same person, and it explains that some is a regnal name and some is a real name and some is a title. So the Gemara says that if Daryavish had not been a righteous king, he would have counted from Tishrei, since he wasn't Jewish. In other words, a Jewish king, even if he's a Rasha, counts from Nisan. A Goyish king counts from Tishrei if he's regular. And
how do you know that before he starts? I mean, he just became king. How do you know when to count?
That's a good question. Maybe they change it? Although that doesn't seem to make sense. The Gemara does not ask that question.
There seems to be, what I was going to ask, like, there seems to be nothing practical in the Gemara, because if we say that he wichmits, so then it should say, okay, so in what year did he wichmits? So
yeah, you would need to know when
Right, but the Gemara seems to be really uninterested. And also the fact that the Gemara says that they're all the same person, but we know that according to Seder Olam, there are three separate people.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, like...
Well, and it could be that there were three separate people, but it could also be that, in other words, just like you have Henry the First, Henry the Second, Henry the Third, Henry the Eighth.
That's not a problem.
No, but it is a problem because the Seder Olam.
No, if they're separate people, it's not a problem.
Right, right. I'm saying the Seder Olam, according to the Pesukim, figures out that there's three people and they served this many years, and the Gemara is like, kind of not interested in.
Right. So anyway, the Gemara's assumption that their Yavesh isn't Jewish.
Isn't kosher.
In other words, he's not Jewish.
He's
so,
not like a Jew.
So it should be, it certainly does, it's not automatically from Nisan. So it depends on whether or not he's a righteous king or not. So that he started out okay, and then he becomes corrupt. So that's why we count from Tishrei. And the Gemara tries to figure out what's the evidence that he became corrupt, and has to do with this description of him giving matanot for the Beit HaMikdash. So you think that that's a positive thing?
Oh, the word, yeah.
In other words, it's like a strange thing. In other words, what's the proof that he was a Rasha? So Rashi, I mean, the Gemara later quotes all types of ideas about sexual perversions and... But the very idea that he gave a matanah to the Beit HaMikdash, what should be wrong with that? So the Gemara says that it's problematic because he only gave the truma to the Beit HaMikdash in exchange for the Kohanim davening for him, and that is it seems that we do that all the time.
Right, doesn't seem like it should be such a terrible thing.
Well. But when a non-Jew does it, the Gemara says. But when a non-Jew does it, it's actually a sign of his
corruption,
of his wickedness. So Tosfos here at the bottom. No, here on Gimel Amud Beis, Shnat Esrim La Artachshasta Hamelech Yayin Lefanav, right. So here Tosfos brings the idea to have a Daryavesh ben Esther, Shenivne Bayit Habayit Biyamav. Right? The well known Midrashic idea that Daryavesh was the son of Achashverosh and Esther, which would mean what about him?
He's Jewish.
That he's Jewish. Which would mean that in all cases, whether he's good or bad, he should be.
From Nisan.
He should be from Nisan. Why?
If he's Jewish.
Maybe they meant a Jewish king, meaning a king of Yehuda, not
yes.
A Jewish king of Russia. It's not obvious.
Right. Right. Like the president of Ukraine. Is he a Jewish president?
Yes.
Or is he a president who's a Jew?
Yes,
both.
President
is both.
Jew.
He's not a president of Jews.
Is he a Judean?
I guess it differs on what you and how you interpret the adjective Jewish in Jewish president. You could say a Jewish president means a person of the Jewish faith who is president of the Ukrainian nation, who's president of the men's club, who's president of the fraternal water buffalo society.
You said Israeli king, right? Israeli president.
Right.
Well, because Israeli is a much is a non-ambiguous term.
He's not a president of the Jews.
Right.
He's
you can't be an Israeli president of anything except the state of Israel.
No, that's just in our current common usage, right?
Right.
But you could say an Italian president, and that would be totally ambiguous.
America's never had an Italian president.
Right, but I'm saying, it's not clear if you're talking about Italian-American or...
Right.
Anyways, yeah.
But in other words, it could be that Jewish...
Because there's no land called Jewish, there's no... You
no,
can't
there
say...
Is. Judea. That's what it meant, Yehudi. That's what the name used it for.
Okay. So, in other words, Jewish president could mean... Or Jewish king could mean the king of the Jews. Or it could mean, like when the Khuzari converted, he's also a Jewish king.
Like there was a French president, Prince president who was Jewish, but we don't call him a Jewish president.
Who was the French?
Pierre Mendes France.
Oh, but didn't he convert?
No. Pierre Mendes doesn't count anyway.
What?
But I converted him and his friends.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. But like the Israeli.
Right, he was an Israeli prime minister.
Yeah, could you get a more Jewish name? The Israeli, right? But he converted.
I don't think he ever just
prime minister of Litha now.
It's a different era, anyway.
Really?
Yes, for a short period of time.
Or now?
Oh, now?
The one that was elected.
Oh, there was a prime minister of Lithuania for like a few weeks or something like that.
So the Gemara says
the Jews are everywhere.
The Gemara.
Now,
so
Lithuania? Wow.
So if Daryavesh was halachically Jewish, so then in all cases. He should, minus Tom's important hera, which we'll get to momentarily, but Lechora, he should be counted from Nisan, because he's Jewish. But, since he, even if he was halachically Jewish, so the idea that you're automatically counted from Nisan, that's when you're talking about a Jewish king, meaning king of the Jews. The fact that he's king of the Persians, who happens to be Jewish, is irrelevant for this conversation. If you're king of the Persians, then you are a Melech Umot Olam, even though you personally might be halachically Jewish. So therefore, you can't say anything from the fact that he is or isn't Jewish based upon which year he should count from. So, what's this idea of him giving tzedakah being a sign that he's a Rasha? Seems like a very strange idea.
He's only giving tzedakah so they'll go down for
him. So, what does that make you a Rasha? We say that it's not the best in the world.
Talk shalom alishma.
Say it, but that doesn't make you a Rasha.
Exactly, I agree.
So here, so Tosfot here, the first Tosfot on Daled is Bishvil Sheichyu Banai. Vahadetan beperakam de Mesechet Avot. Al tiyu kavadim hamishamshim et harav al menat lekabel pras. Hainu, beumot haolam, shetohin al harishonot. Or you can make a pun. Al menat shekabel paras. Right, that they should become the king. That's not what the Mishnah means, but that's a good Purim Torah here. Right? In other words, The Tosfos says that if a non-Jew gives money, tzedakah, in order to receive something in return, but a Jew who gives tzedakah out of the goodness of his heart, so he then just kind of appends a tefillah. In other words, it's not quid pro quo. When you give a mishan adav, you get an aliyah and you give a mishan adav, right? It's not quid pro quo.
Right.
It's not, I'm going to give the tzedakah so that God, I'm forcing God's hand. My chai dollars are going to force God's hand.
How do you know?
So the
Tosfos
says. Bavorsha. Olei tain. Bavorsha tzedakah.
Right.
Bad.
Yischar zeh. We said it pretty clearly.
Well, that's a question. Yischar zeh tia. Anyway, so the idea is that there's a difference whether you expect that there's a quid pro quo or not. So Daryavesh, whether he's Jewish or not, acts as a non-Jew here. In other words, he gives the tzedakah so that his children will have long life. And therefore, you can't count that as a righteous act. Rashi Kalbata, the Mishkav, and the Zigmar is trying to figure out what his other, you know, that's not like such a terribly wicked act to give tzedakah, you know, they're worse, we can think of worse avers. Right? I mean, it's not open mic night, but we could probably each think of worse avers than giving tzedakah with the idea that you're going to get something in return. So the Gemara, you know, like really piles it on. About his licentious activities with his kalba, with his female dog, etc. But Rashi makes it clear, Bnei Noach, who's haru al kach. In other words, gilei arayot, all types of sexual improprieties, are also shayach to non-Jews, right? And he's a non-Jew.
I have to admit, this is a little bit strange. It's quite an extreme of a repulsive act. When a person can be corrupt much more easily, doesn't have to have relations with a kalba.
The midrashic imagination.
It's quite an imagination.
It's also twisting the words of the pasuk, which is obviously right. not what it means. Right. And we're going to say in a minute, it's not what it means.
Right. The root shin gimel lamed, which means something, presumably of a sexual nature. So that's where the Gemara is spinning this from. But nachinami, the midrashic imagination here tries to fill in the gap of what could he have done that was so wrong.
The root. This is the same root of tishagana.
Yeah,
but it means literally queen over here, right?
Yeah. Because I think it has to do, if only David were here. David, wherever you are, in America.
Send us a text when you read this.
So you'll WhatsApp. Well, this is a test. It's now 9 p.m. Israel time on Tuesday night. Let's see how long it takes him to WhatsApp us with the link to the etymological matter here, what Shin Gimel Lamed means in Hebrew versus in Persian.
Is this used in Hebrew or is it just Aramaic?
Not in contemporary Hebrew, but no, this is one of the one of the kriuchtivs
in a whole variety of places.
Where the Torah uses this shorish Shin Gimel Lamed, which again is there's no contemporary Hebrew use of it, but it would be it'd be the kind of thing you'd wash your kid's mouth out with soap.
Right.
So the Torah, it's all over Tanakh. It's all over Tanakh. It's in the Neviim. So the kriuchtiv generally switches it to the shorish Shin Kaf Bet. Right, to lie together, which is itself a euphemism. So Rashi says. Rashi makes it clear that Daryavish wasn't Jewish. Rashi rejects this midrashic idea. This is like a very well known urban, not an urban legend, but Pok Chazi Venira. Go ask people. Was Daryavish? You could find people that will tell you it's like Mefurish in Megillat Esther.
It's in the
past. Right. What?
Says Shagel.
No. Before that he was Esther's son.
Oh, no.
Right? So it's not even in the Gemara. It's an idea in the Medrash. Right? Which is not unanimously accepted. Tosfos accepts it. Rashi rejects it. Rashi does not accept this idea that Daryavesh was the son of Esther, that he was himself a Jewish. So Rashi understood the Gemara here goes according to the opinion against the Medrash that Daryavesh wasn't Jewish. And therefore, it's not surprising that his reign goes from
Tishrei. Tishrei, yeah.
Right? Meaning he doesn't have to be a Russia in order to go from Tishrei. In other words, the status quo of a Melech Umot Olam is from Tishrei. Right?
It could also have been that there were two different opinions about how you deal with a righteous non-Jewish king. One opinion was, create him like a Jewish king.
Right. Now, there's the cynical Jewish mind would say, "Lamai nafkamina." There are no examples of good Koisha kings. Just tell me, Rabbi, is there a blessing for the Tsar? May God keep and protect us. Bless and keep the Tsar far away from us.
What's with the? The Gemara didn't say there's no good kings. The Gemara is assuming that he was to share milachat chila.
Right.
They're saying with me. Right. But the Gemara never points out his good qualities.
Well, you're telling him
that he encourages the return the Shiva Tzion.
But it doesn't say that anywhere, does it? Because I just went over this a little bit. And it just says kasher, koresh kasher, but it doesn't say.
Well, we know from
explicitly.
Enough.
We know that he slept with his dog too, but
no, but that we don't know. We know from the Tanakh that he is.
That was Koresh, not Daryavish.
Okay, true.
And it says right here that when he sent all the gifts, it was a bad thing. So I'm just wondering if I missed something here.
Anyway, skip ahead to about 6-7 lines from the bottom. You see, it says,
we're going to skip all the sex stuff again?
Yeah, I summarized it. It's a family program. Vilir Galim, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also the Rosh Hashanah for the cycle of holidays, the Regalim. regalim bechad b'nisan hu, b'chamisha asar b'nisan hu. What does it mean that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah for the holidays? In other words, what's the first holiday? Pesach. So what should be the Rosh Hashanah for the regalim?
Yudalit
Tedvav. All right. Right? In other words, what, l'may nafkamina we say, Rishon,
another... Chodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim Rishon hu lachem l'chodshei Hashanah. So, I mean, this is your Rosh Hashanah, and everything is counted according to this. The fact that the first Chag isn't on the first day of the first month.
So l'may nafkamina. So l'may nafkamina. You could have also said, in other words, what's the last of regalim?
Sukkot.
What month is Sukkot in?
Tishrei.
What month comes after Tishrei? Cheshvan. So we could have said that Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is the Rosh Hashanah Regalim.
Okay, but that doesn't have to do with whether it's the 1st or the 15th, meaning...
No, but say it, but what's the point? In other words, the point of saying Rosh Hashanah Regalim means the order is Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. So if the order is Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, any point after
right.
Sukkot,
right,
could
and
be
I
that.
Think the answer we said was because you may have an Adar Bet.
So what? There's no regel in Adar Bet, in Adar Aleph.
What?
There's no regel in Adar Aleph or Adar Bet.
Yeah.
So what difference does it? In other words, you have a circle, right?
Pesach has to be in Chodesh Aviv.
Yeah.
Nisan is Chodesh Aviv. You can't make the Rosh Hashanah before that.
No, but we're not talking about Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim doesn't mean that Nisan is the first of the 12 or 13 months.
So what does it mean?
That's my question.
Okay. All right.
It means that when we order the Regalim for purposes that will become apparent, it goes Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Right? So imagine if I had a blackboard, I would draw a circle. Right? The whole year is a circle, of course. Right? But on our circle, who has a piece of paper? A pen. Who has a pen? Here.
A cell phone. I can text it to you. Nice.
Right? In other words, the year goes like this. Here's Nisan. Let me say, here's Pesach. Here's Shavuot. And here's Sukkot. The regalim are not divided equally around the year. There's a whole half of the year from Sukkot until Nisan, 6 months or 7 months sometimes, which is a blackout period. So what's the point? If we want to cut this and stretch it out in a timeline instead of in a circular line, the point is that we have to cut it before Pesach. So that, right, if we were to cut it here and then stretch it out into a timeline, so it would be Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot.
Right.
But if I were to cut it here in Cheshvan, it would accomplish the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Kol od that I don't make the division sometime between Pesach and Sukkot.
Yeah.
Right? So the Gemara says, why say Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Really, it's Tedvav, meaning Pesach. The point of saying Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim means Pesach is first.
If you started in Cheshvan,
yeah,
and you said Uvachodesh HaTshi'i,
no, this has nothing to do with the counting of the months.
We're just saying the counting of the holidays. Which holiday is first? There's four Rosh Hashanah. We're not talking about the months. We're talking about holidays. If you're counting months. No, but that's not what
we're not counting months.
That.
We're counting.
It's a different Rosh Hashanah.
It's for the order of the
holidays.
The order of the holidays.
What significance is there in the order of the holidays anyway?
Uh-huh. Thank you for asking. I will tell you what the Gemara says.
Where are we exactly?
About six lines from the bottom of Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, you see the two dots, V'liregalim. Eight lines from the bottom. Regalim be'echad b'nisan hu. B'chamisha asar b'nisan hu. So Omar Rav Chisda, regel shebo Rosh Hashanah l'regalim nafka. Regalim. So when it says Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah l'regalim, it doesn't really mean the first of Nisan. It means Chodesh Nisan. Right? Mm-hmm. To say Rosh Chodesh Nisan is also like a way of colloquially saying Chodesh Nisan. In Chodesh Nisan is the first of the Shalosh Regalim. So what is the actual date of Rosh Hashanah of the Regalim? Pesach is Tevav. Nafkamina. And what, so what's the nafkamina? What's the nafkamina? We say it's tetvav or we say it's aleph? Nafkamina lenoder. Lemekem alea beval ta'achir. What is the purpose of having, what difference does it make? In other words, if they keep going around and around and around, we just had Pesach, soon we're going to have Shavuos. A few months after that, we'll have Sukkot. Then you know what comes after Sukkot? It's Pesach again, and then after that is Shavuos, and then Sukkot, and then Pesach, right? You can jump in at any point in the circle, because the circle only moves in one direction. So what do you need to have an ordering of the regalim for? Because it's connected to a halacha in Nidarim. Now, I don't think we actually covered this when we learned Nidarim. We didn't get up to that sugya. But when you make a neder, there's an iser of bal ta'achir. Don't be late. Right? If you give a ned, if you make a neder, you have to fulfill it on time. So if I make a neder, if I make a neder, I'm going to give whatever it is, $100 to the Save Hashmurat Avram campaign by the end of the week. If I haven't given the $100 by the end of the week, I have violated.
Is a week?
No, in other words, if I stipulate that it's a week.
So you said that it's a year.
Right? If I say, if I make a neder, before I go to sleep tonight, I'm going to go onto PayPal and make the donation. Right? And I go to sleep before I do it, I've been over a lav in the Torah called Bal Ta'acher, do not be late.
Why is that a lav of Bal Ta'acher and not a lav of do what you said you're going to do in the neder?
No, there's a mitzvah aseh, l'kayem et haneder. If I don't fulfill my neder, I'm mevatel in aseh, but I've also violated this prohibition of not doing it in the manner that I, and even if the next day, if I say I make a neder, that I'm going to do this before I go to sleep, before the stroke of midnight, and I don't do it, and tomorrow I do it, right?
You haven't done the neder.
What?
If you do it tomorrow, I may
have fulfilled the neder, but I still have racked up one avera of Bal Ta'acher.
It sounds like two averas to me.
No, and it's with mitzvot aseh, you have a mitzvot aseh.
Right.
If you don't fulfill a mitzvot aseh that you're obligated in, that's called bitul aseh. You've wasted an opportunity. There's no punishment for it, but in heaven, God keeps track however he keeps track. Right? You're supposed to put on tefillin every day. If you don't put on tefillin, what's the punishment for not putting on tefillin today? You were mevatel. There's no isser of not putting on tefillin. The very act of having omitted the opportunity to do a mitzvah aseh, it's called a bitul aseh. And when God keeps track, it's not in your favor, but it's not the same as saying, you ate chazetreif, right? It's also to eat chazetreif. There's a lav, there's a prohibition. You eat pig, you violated that prohibition with whatever punishments come about. There are only two mitzvot aseh whose bitul, whose omission carries punishment.
Korban Pesach
and Brit Milah. Right, but the other 246 mitzvot aseh, they are gifts to us. And if you don't take advantage of your gift, God takes note that you were negligent. But it's not the same as doing an avera. So with nedarim, there's a mitzvot aseh l'kayem your neder, and there's a mitzvot lo taseh, not to miss the deadline. Stam a neder, right? A stam neder is 30 days. But then other categories, and there's a whole variety of what the Rambam calls hafla'a. And it's not just hafla'a, all types of these types of payments that have to be made, right? There's a deadline. And the deadline is connected to the Shalosh Regalim. Why would they be connected to the Shalosh Regalim, Dafka? Because a lot of them are karbanot. A lot of them have to do with being present in Yerushalayim. Right? So, since on the Shalosh Regalim, you make Aliyah LaRegel, or at least you have the opportunity to make Aliyah LaRegel, there's an incentive to make Aliyah LaRegel. You can also go when it's not Yontif. But, so presumably, they tied it up with when it would be most convenient for people to make these payments in Beit HaMikdash. So Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon,
he... Sorry, so, are you going to say this, or did I miss it? So if you make an error that you're going to bring...
Well, hold on. Okay. Rabbi Shimon, he, Detanya, Rabbi Shimon, he, Detanya, Echad HaNoder, Ve'echad HaMakdish, Ve'echad HaMarich, somebody who makes a neder, or somebody who makes a hakdasha, right? You say, this goat is hektish, which means you've just transferred its ownership to Beit HaMikdash. Or Marich. What's Marich?
It says I'm going to give the value of Tom.
Yeah, where do we learn that from?
Last week.
Yeah, this is 2 days ago. 3 days ago. Parashas Bechukos. Kevan she'avru alav gimel v'shalosh regalim over beval ta'acher. If he hasn't paid up by the time the three regalim have passed, then he has violated Baal Ta'akhir.
The three or A3?
What? I mean...
Well, does that give you a certain order?
That's exactly the question.
Shimon says that.
Right. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shalosh Regalim Kesidran, V'chaga Matzot Tchila. Right? So which means, how long do you have to make your neder?
Depends on the season.
Minimally 6 months and a week, right? As if you make your neder on Erev Pesach, by when have you violated Baal Ta'acher if you haven't paid up? 6 months and a week later at the end of Sukkot. If you make your neder on Isru Chag Pesach, how long do you have?
A year and a week.
More than a year and a week.
Months.
You have almost a year and a half, right? Because in other words, what happens? The first yontif you're going to hit is what? Doesn't count. What's the next yontif? Doesn't count. What's the third yontif that comes? Pesach counts as number one. That's what it means that it's Rosh Hashanah LeRegalim, right? So it's a kind of movable deadline.
What was the neder that you made that...
Any of these
things?
You were Makdish,
things.
You, right?
Okay.
You made a Hektish.
And you didn't make a date. Like, that's... Okay. I don't know what the standard was when you said, I'm going to...
Stam. Kevan Shavu Alav Gimel Regalim Over Beval Ta'acher Rabbi Shimon Omer Gimel Regalim Kesidran V'chaga Matzot Tchila V'chein Haya Rabbi Shimon Ben Yochai Omer Regalim Pa'amim Shalosh pa'amim dalid pa'amim chamisha. So sometimes you're going to get to pass three regalim, sometimes four regalim, sometimes five regalim, depending upon when you made the neder. If you make the neder on erev Pesach, then you have three regalim to bring it. If you make the neder on erev between Pesach during Sfirsa Omer, so then you get five. Right? If you make it on erev Sukkot or between Shavuos and Sukkot, then you get four.
Sounds very Jewish.
Yes.
Why?
I'll pay. Don't worry. I have like three chagim to go, starting from a year from now.
Just at the time you're in the Dorian, very well.
When we start thinking about why Nisan and Makdash, it wouldn't make a difference.
Say again?
So what difference would it make if we say that Cheshvan or Nisan bring the beginning of the year,
right,
so to speak? As far as the Nedarim goes, it really has no effect. You have to go
with Kisidron. I
mean, that's the question you asked at the beginning.
Yeah.
Why do we care if it's Cheshvan or Nisan?
If Rosh Chodesh La Regalim is Cheshvan, you'd still have the same.
If only Nafka Minayim
is. Right, so but that's what the point of the Gemara is saying. When we say that it's Rosh Hashanah Le Regalim, what we really mean is Pesach. When we say Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that's what Rav Chisda says.
It's
Pesach.
It's Pesach.
Right. Meaning the regel that happens in Chodesh Nisan.
But it's not even Nisan, because you might as well say that it's Cheshvan.
Exactly. In other words, it doesn't make a difference. The point is, the Rosh Hashanah for Regalim is Pesach.
It's Pesach.
Right?
Otherwise, the Mishnah would have to say,
Whatsoever, as long as you're still right, and that's what
Rav Chisda rereads the Mishnah. He says when it says Rosh Hashanah Lamalachim is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it means the yontif that takes place in the Chodesh of Nisan, which we call Pesach, right? So you have to go through Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos. Tana Rabbanan. חייבי הדמין והערכין והחרמין והקדשות, חטאות, אשמות, עולות, שלמים, צדקות, מעשרות, בחור, ומעשר, ופסח,
לקט,
שכחה, פיה. כיוון שעברו על... What does that mean, פסח?
קורבן פסח,
זה בגלל פסח. What does it say there in that Gemara?
Pesach is the sacrifice offered on the afternoon before Pesach, and eaten at night. Since meat be offered only at this time, the Gemara below asks how the passage of three festivals is relevant to it.
Oh, Baruch Shekivanti.
There you go.
Leket Shechel Pei. So all these things that you have to pay, if you, in addition to the fact you're supposed to do it, right? In other words, you're supposed to, like, well, first of all, leket and shikha. What are those?
Stuff that falls of corner of
either,
the field.
Either, no, that's peah.
Right.
Oh, so
shikha,
leket and shikha is leket is when you're gathering up the wheat, so there's always some that gets left behind on the ground. So the aniyim are allowed to come and take. Shikha is when you make an omer, a sheaf, right? A bundle. You're like now, like you know, like when you drive and you see what do? They don't have them anymore. They look like those big squares. Mm-hmm.
They don't have them anymore.
No, like they don't have them anymore. Like when you imagine, like in Megillat Rut. Like a sheaf of wheat standing
sort of
there, right? An aluma, right?
In the field,
but now they come and the machine comes and it's like a huge lawnmower and it sucks up all the wheat or hay or whatever it is, and then it punches it out into a perfect like Rubik's cube box, right? So the aniyim can come. The aniyim can come and take the alumot that if one is left behind. So what does that mean? How is there a deadline for that? That's on the ani to take. Right?
He forgot it and he didn't come.
So at a certain point, what happened was our whole... now there's this wonderful organization called Leket, which, you know, colloquially uses the title because the aniim don't come to the field. We, on our vacation, go with our kids and we pick the tangerines or whatever it is and they package it up and they give it out to the needy. That's not the biblical leket. But at a certain point, leket and shikha and peah kind of went out of fashion because the ani'im stopped coming. So Chazal said that the owner should take it in and leave it aside and give it to the ani'im. Right? So if you've gathered, if the owner, if the farmer himself has taken in these things, so he's just a custodian for the ani'im. And if he doesn't give it over, so then he can also be over on Bal Ta'achir if this amount of time has passed. So Kevan Sha'avru Aleihen Shlo, all of these different matanot and chiyuvim and payments and debts. Kevan Sha'avru Aleihen Shlosha Regalim Over B'Bal Ta'achir. Rabbi Shimon Omer Shlosha Regalim Kesidran V'Chag HaMatzot Tchila. So it's a variable deadline. It can be between a half a year and almost a year and a half, right? Rabbi Meir Omer Kevan Shavar Aleim Regel Echad Over Beval Ta'acher. Rabbi Eliezer Ben Yaakov Omer Kevan Shavru Aleim Shnei Regalim Over Beval Ta'acher. Rabbi Elazar Ben Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kevan she'avar aleihem chagas sukkot over aleihem bevata acher. So three different shitot. Right? One
so
is no.
Like six.
Right? And one is you miss even one regel, You make a neder on Erev Pesach, or better, you make a Pesach is a long time. You make a neder on Erev Shavuos. You know, Shavuos is coming. You make a neder on Erev Shavuos. If you haven't paid up before Shavuos, you have a couple hours. Right? Or, maybe you have two regalim. Or, maybe it's Sukkos. Maybe Sukkos is the deadline. And you have up to a year depending upon when you make the neder. If you make the neder on Isur Chag Sukkos, you have almost a year. And if you make the neder on Erev Sukkos, you have a couple hours. So where does the Gemara? The Gemara wants to know my time. These three shittot, where do they come from? So that's where we'll pick up next week.
You know, David would appreciate this. You remind